were thrilled to have one-time Maple Leaf hot dog spokesman Donovan Bailey, who, oh yeah, just happens to be an Olympic champion and a multiple gold medalist. He joins us in studio.
I got to think that in his illustrious career, one of the greatest athletes we've ever seen, you've never been introduced like that.
Yeah, there's definitely a first. This is definitely the first time.
Well, we were watching the DeGrasse Pizza commercial.
Right.
Donovan says, oh my God. Because it's bad, right? Like, I mean, Zyze, it's well, good for Andre. Good for him for getting the check.
Oh, it's awesome. But they could show him eating the pizza. You know what I'm saying? He could be, you know, eating the pizza with a couple of his friends.
Right.
Does any okay when it comes to sprinters? So,
oh yeah,
anything worse than Ben's commercial? I'm a cheetah.
Let's just say I didn't see it. Okay, that's not even a conversation for me.
What were there any other pitches that you got along the way where you said, Donovan, okay, I there's a line, and we're not doing this.
You know what? I probably don't. I tend to ignore things and then delete it from my memory. But okay. we've had a few. Over my career, we've had a few doozies, and yeah, the answer'd usually be a quick hell no.
What's a doozy that you said yes to? Has there been one?
Let me think about that. Okay. We'll get back to that one. I'm just trying to remember.
So, you were the world's fastest man, but what we didn't know about you until Rio is that you got the dance moves.
Oh God,
you
man.
Got like the feet. The feet were quick, and the feet are now still quick. But within a confined space, where did you learn to dance that way?
I don't know what the hell you're talking about, man. Listen, one, especially there was not supposed to be a kid. Well, hang on. I forgot that I was in a studio. Let's just say that, right? And I was just excited for the guys. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I probably had to go to therapy the next morning to get a great massage on my old knees. But my God, you know, I was just happy. Wasn't aware that the camera was there and was just quite happy to see what these guys were doing. Finally, as you know, as the guy who set the bar for these kids that are now competing, you know, you actually get to see guys going in there and you know, working out and mixing it up with the fastest human that ever lived in the world, man. So it's awesome.
So is that like being a proud papa? Is that what that's like?
Yeah, you know, I've said that. You know, my daughter is 22 years old. Mm, you know, wow. so and Andre's 21. Right. So, yeah, it's like the proud papa that, you know, there's rules that you set in the house and you're not allowed to break it, or maybe you are. But, yeah, that's exactly why I feel that way. When I speak to Glenn Roy and we talk about the current crop of relay guys now from, and it's all of them from, you know, Akeem, who I've known since he was 12 years old, you know, Aaron since he was 16, every one of those guys, you know, I just feel like daddy. I mean, so I kind of feel very protective of them, but I'm also very happy. You know, and show emotions, you know, when they're accomplishing something, you know, when the goal is to win a gold medal and to be the fast man in the world or to win, you know, to win the Olympics or the world championships. And you see these guys and they're making headways. It's amazing.
Zyze?
I don't know what else to say after that. I'm still trying to get over, you know, his dance moves.
What's wrong with you guys in a dance move, man? My God. Okay,
dude,
listen.
No.
I'm supposed to be dancing, right? I'm supposed to dance.
It's 2016.
All right.
You're in a television studio, and you didn't know there were cameras in there?
Okay, one, we weren't on live.
Yeah.
Right? We weren't on live.
The cameras are everywhere, my friend.
Clearly, I understand this now. See, I am now working with you guys, so I understand kind of how it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I thank God I wasn't doing anything other than jumping up and giving them a run.
Just a newsflash. You are part of you guys now.
I know that. I know. You know, that's what I'm saying. I realized that. I was like, oh, yeah, there's no longer you guys. It's us.
It's us. It's us.
But isn't that part of the, you know, all joking aside, the wonderful part of the Olympics is that even for somebody that, you know, you had one of the most historic sporting moments in this country, and yet to see somebody else succeed like that, just the raw emotion, okay, that's what it was. The whole country saw from you. Isn't that one of the cool things now as you stand back and watch the next generation come up?
Yeah, you know what? I've said it a few times. One, I didn't have that. I mean, you know, obviously I have three older brothers, so I was mentored, whether I wanted it or not as a
that's
kid,
right?
But more than anything, I'm a sports fan. And coming through track and field in Canada and representing this great country of ours, I didn't have someone to call. I mean, the person that I probably would have looked up to was someone like Linford Christie, and he was trying to hold on to the crown and be the world champion, Olympic champion, and repeat. You know, so I couldn't very well call him. So now it's you know, I didn't have that. So one of the things I'd like to do is to make sure that the cycle, there's an incredible positive cycle for these kids that are coming up, because they can. I mean, I'm accessible for them because. Whether or not I made mistakes or not, which I'm sure I did, but I got to the goals that I want to achieve. So these guys coming up now, it's just incredible for me to just be a fan, to be a fan and to see guys mixing up. I mean, to see Andre and Usain, I mean, to see the, you know, a guy who's, you know, run 9.5 and 19.1 and Andre's in there. He's like the little engine that could. Like he's in there chugging along. Amazing. And the relay team, I mean, those guys so deserve the bronze medal.
Donovan Bailey's in studio. Everybody watches the 100. The 100's the event. We get that. What impressed me most about DeGrasse was how he handled the 200. The whole semifinal deal with him and Bolt at the finish line. And, you know, everybody was talking about this bromance. But, you know that when the lights come on the next day for the final, Bolt wants to just shove it down his throat. I mean, he ultimately wants to win. What impressed me most was how DeGrasse ran the 200. We haven't had a 200 meter sprinter in a long time. Since Percy Williams.
When did we have one?
Right. What stood out to you, Donovan, about how Andre handled the week?
Well, one, I mean, to show kind of veteran savvy, it's number one. I mean, the ability to be patient. One of the things that I was doing all through the Olympics was his coach and I were texting quite often.
Stuart McMillan.
Yes, Stuart's been one of my boys for 25 plus years. So we're texting strategies of what to do, what he should do, what Andre should do. I love the fact that he's not afraid. I love the fact that going through the 100 meters, you know, he was trying to figure out what to do. And I think in the semifinals of the 100 meters, it's the semifinals of the 100 meters, he was figuring out that he belonged.
Right.
That I have, you know, and because I think that in sprinting or in any sport where there's just one title, so whether it's golf or tennis or whatever, this is not a team sport. So when an athlete would figure out that he belongs, then, hey, man, you know, and he can jump on it. I like that his attitude changed and he kind of said, oh, you know what? I think I can do this. His 200 meters, I've always said that Andre's 200 meters is better than his 100 meters because he's probably one of the most, one, technically very sound, and he will get better. And he's one of the most efficient 200 meter guys there is today competing. And I think that he wanted to win the 200 meters. And I like the fact that he wanted to win the 200 meters. And in the semi, he knew that he could win the 200 meters, and that's really what he wanted. I mean, look, again, Bolt is in a category by himself. We get it. I understand that. If Bolt gets out in front of you, you're finished, right? It is what it is. But Andre, I like the fact that of his confidence and the fact that he gets out there and he's also ambitious. Love it.
Donovan, there was a lot of debate, you know, while Arash was down there on Copacabana Beach drinking those little colored things with the little umbrellas. He did an amazing job, I have to say, but you both did. But there was a lot of debate.
Coconut water on the rocks, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
Just straight.
I'll try.
Right? Just straight.
I'll try
right?
that Arash next time.
Just nothing has to do with that three-letter word that starts with R and U, but you can connect the dots. But we had a lot of debate on this show while the Olympics were going on with Bob and guests and so forth about Usain Bolt versus Michael Phelps, and who do you consider to be the world's greatest athlete? I'm not sure it's a black and white discussion, and I'd like to throw that to Donovan. I mean, obviously, you're going to be biased towards your sport.
You sure?
Well, I'm going out on a limb here, as I usually am wont to do, but no, I think it's fascinating that from your standpoint, because as an athlete, you're going to appreciate the cachet of medals that Michael Phelps had.
Right.
But at the same time, having participated in it, let's be honest. I mean, and this is not to diss any of the other sports or athletes, but we look at the 100 meters, I think, globally as being the elite event right. at the Olympics.
But we don't look at it. It is. I mean, I'm just
there. Like, you go.
No, it is. Here's the deal. Michael Phelps is one of the greatest athletes that ever competed in sports, period. And he Correct. Is the most decorated mm-hmm. Olympic athlete ever.
Yeah.
That bar none. But there's no chance that you can do what Usain Bolt has done. And you cannot compare it. When you are the fat... Here's the deal. There are 206 countries that compete in the Olympic Games. And there's 206 athletes... from each of those countries trying to be the fastest man in the world.
Yeah.
When you win that event, you're on the front page or the leading story of every single newspaper or news or media on the planet. I mean, I'm just saying that sometimes I hear this and it's not even an argument. I get it. Michael Phelps again also belongs in a category completely by himself,
mm-hmm.
but he's very much the most dominant guy in the pool. And also the most decorated Olympian ever. You know, I get it. I understand that. But he's not in the same place as you say.
Donovan Bailey's with us in studio. Here's the other thing on that whole conversation is that I can't think of another individual sport. For a while, Roger Federer was the most dominant player. And then Novak Djokovic yeah. became that way. And right. prior to that was Sampras. But Sampras had Agassi against right. him too. Serena Williams right now kind of enters that conversation. But where I'm going with this is, I cannot remember ever any sport where first place was not even up for grabs.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody against Bolt races for silver.
Correct. Correct.
For 12 years.
Right. He lost one race, and that's because he wasn't in it. No, but it is. I mean, right. in Daegu in Korea, false start. And funny enough, I mean, when you look at it, false start. I think that after he took his shirt off, the starter was going, "Oh no, put your shirt back on, son. Like we're gonna get you back in the race. We're gonna figure out some way." And he's just gonna, "Oh man, I'm out." But that's think about that at the highest level of sport. He lost once, and that's because he wasn't there.
Which is awesome. Incredible.
It is. It really is.
And that's not to diminish anything from Michael Phelps.
Absolutely not. Right? Absolutely not. Like I said, it's a totally different conversation. Totally different conversation.
Or any of the people, Arash, that you brought up, where albeit tennis players, golfers, yeah. whatever
Tiger
you want.
Tiger for a while, right? But yeah. still, Tiger didn't win every slam.
No.
Right.
He didn't win every major. It's one of those things where, you know, people, you have the conversation, and you just have to remind, okay, gold's done.
Right.
Right, everybody here is just racing for silver and bronze.
Yes, the gold is already going back to Jamaica. Correct.
Okay. Correct.
Donovan, you would know this. Is he, and I refer to Usain Bolt, is he as personable a guy as he comes across to the public?
Very cool guy. I'm very cool guy. In all my interactions with him, all my conversations with him, he's been, you know, he is as fun, you know, on the track as he's off. I mean, he really still is, even to this day at 30, and the veteran that he is, and right. the guy about to retire, just a big kid running. That's all. That's it. I mean, and coming off and off the track, he's just as personal. You see, I mean, the guy comes to the press conference with the samba dances. I mean, yeah. who does that? Right. The thing is, I mean, I was quite personal when I competed, but man, I didn't think I should have thought of that, but I didn't. But he is one of the reasons why he's so loved and he's massively followed, and he's transcended track and field to become one of the great and most incredible sports ambassadors in the world. It's because of that. It's because that's just who he is.
To that end, does he respect or embrace the history of those before him, whether it be you, whether it be any of the people that were the champions that came before him?
100%. And that's also one of the things that I love about him. He can sit and go down the history and telling you things from Jesse Owens all the way wow. to himself. But on the other hand, like he got into a couple of conversations with Michael Johnson, he'll tell you about yourself when you disrespect him. You know, so he's still an alpha male in an sure. alpha male world, because you're still the king of the castle. I mean, if winning the 100 meters means that you're the king.
But not only does he win,
right.
he looks over his shoulder at guys when he's crossing right. the finish line. Like, right. well, he's you done, guys arriving anytime soon? Like,
he's done that. He's done that many, many years. So yeah, no. But he's you know he's absolutely and completely and totally respectful of the history of sprinting and also understand where he's taken it and how he's transformed how track and field is looked at and respected across the globe right now.
So for those who don't know how the Olympics work in track and field or in most events, when a competitor leaves their field of play, they have to walk through an area called the mix zone before they can actually leave. And the mix zone is where different journalists and reporters stand. And in the broadcast mix zone after the 200 meter semifinal, after the whole bromance thing. With Bolt, I asked DeGrasse, okay, what adjustments do you want to make for tomorrow's final? And he said, well, I can come around the second bend a little bit better. That's where... That's the main one. I said, well, is there anything else? and he just kind of looked at me and said, I honestly don't know. I'm just learning how to run.
Right. Yeah.
And it just blew me away. I'm like, oh yeah, you're 21.
Yeah.
Four years ago, you'd never come out of starting blocks.
But
before.
it's not even so much that Andre is 21. It's his second year competing at this level.
That's
right. Right. So, right. I mean, they're athletes that start to that train and are in a great yeah. training environment from their teenagers, from their high school, not him.
There's figure skaters and gymnasts that are considered to be past their prime at that right. age.
Correct. Correct.
So what does Andre have to learn now about how to run? So at a time where Bolt's leaving and Gatlin presumably is going
to
be done.
Other than which commercials to turn down.
No, he'll turn down a few. What does Andre have to do now? One, when you look at the 100 meters final, so you look at the eight guys, clearly Bolt is the man and has been the man and has set the incredible standard for these guys to measure up to. Gatlin is the elder, so he's moving off, right? But... all the other guys that are there are young.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So every single one of those guys have to improve. Now, Andre, obviously my money's on Andre just because he's fearless and he's ambitious. And, you know, Trayvon Bromell should be one of the guys that should be battling with him, but I think that he kind of buried Trayvon mentally at the NCAA. So I think that Andre's going to own him for a couple of years. So what Andre needs to do now is I know that Stu's going to go back and there's going to be obvious technical things. He definitely needs to get stronger. His first 30 is going to improve. So you know, his 60 time will drop, which simply means that his top end speed will even be better as he hit high speed. He hit top speed at maybe 60 meters. He'll probably hit it a little quicker now because his first 30 will be much faster. His patience is great. His hunger is great. His ambition is great. So going back to the drawing board and doing, getting in the weight room, and becoming a little bit more technically sound would allow him to, you know, to win going forward.
What impressed me the most about him, too, guys, is that he's a kid who's just
fun,
comfortable in his own skin, too. That was one of the biggest takeaways I had of being around him for a week. And granted, you're only seeing him for a few minutes a day,
right?
But he's a dude who wasn't caught up in the moment. That he wasn't putting pressure on himself. He's just...
You know what?
he's a cool character.
Right. He puts pressure on himself. I think one of the things that I speak about, you know, I was always apparently perceived to be arrogant because I was confident in who I was and very, very confident in my own skin. The reason why I was that was because of my support system, was because of my mom. I was a mama's boy, and my dad kept me in check. And my four brothers kept me in check. And my friends kept me balanced in Oakville. And those are the boys I hang out with today. One of the things I love about Andre is the exact same thing. You know, his mom, I mean, I talked to his mom. His mom is there and she's mom, you know, and no one's going to mess with her son. And he's got great, you know, coaches. And he's got, you know, like the guys at Altus are incredible. You know, he's got a couple of people working for him that he understands that they're all in it to make sure that he is successful. I'm here as a mentor to him and the rest of the Canadian team. You know, so although you see him being a cool cat, it's cool confidence because he knows that no matter what, he can get out there and leave it all on the track and be confident that whatever he does, we're all going to be happy with him and he's going to be happy with himself. So, I mean, I love the fact that is the atmosphere that's being created. And again, that's something I never, like I had it But, I mean, people looked at it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, I mean, the more successful that Andre and the team becomes, I think that they'll realize the significance of how we dominated track and field in the 90s.
Yeah. But, you know, you mentioned that people thought you're arrogant, but that self belief in yourself. Right. I mean, when we look at some of the greatest athletes of our time, whether, you know, you talk to anybody that played against or with Michael Jordan.
Right.
You talk to anybody that played with or against Kobe Bryant.
Right.
You talk to anybody that went up against Tiger Woods.
Right. Gretzky.
In the fourth round of a major, mm-hmm. if you were paired with Tiger, there were guys that said he wouldn't say a word to you and he would just stare at you.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So is that not part, have we not seen this as a common thread of great athletes that there is a self-belief, and whether people from the outside think it's arrogance or not, the fact is you need every single edge you can get to be successful.
Correct. Well, one, it's not a beam about being an athlete. I think that in order for you to be successful in any genre, you have to be confident.
Yeah.
Like I don't care. You can put any job in front of you. If you walk in thinking that I'm second rate or second best, that's exactly what you're going to sound like, you're going to look like, and you're going to perform like. And at the end of the day, you really have to look at any of the most incredible performances that you've ever seen. That guy or that woman walks out there with an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you say, Lennox Lewis, Lennox is a good buddy of mine, and one of the things I've always joked with him over the years is that, man, you know, you had one guy in front of you. You had one guy.
Mm-hmm.
I had seven every couple of weeks. I mean, when you're on the Diamond League circuit, you know, and I have, you know, 25 races a year, plus we have the major championships.
Yep.
Every single week, you have seven men that you're battling, and you have to figure out who you're going to mentally destroy. And then you're going to look at the one or two guys who there's, oh man, it's on today. There's going to be a race between me and that guy. You know, so again, if you do not, one, prepare yourself, because that's the number one thing. If you go up and you start chirping and you don't bring it, then it's not going to be a long career for you. But you have to be very confident in anything, in any single thing that you do in life in order for you to be successful.
I know sprinting is your area of expertise, but I wanted to talk a little bit about Damian Warner. And a little bit about Derek Drouin. I thought those were two of the great stories of these Olympics for Canada. Those decathletes are crazy.
Well, one, success, I want to believe, is my expertise.
Okay.
listen, I was speaking to Derek. Derek belongs in the rare club in Canada, which is world champion, followed by Olympic champion. All he needs is the world record now, and then he's really in my club.
Right.
Right. But what he's
done. The Donovan Bailey Club.
The Donovan That's Bailey it. Club.
Now, that is an exclusive.
That's very
Absolutely.
Exclusive.
Absolutely. See, he has one more title to go and he's good. But
if you're looking for a couple bouncers.
Perfect. You guys are in. You guys are in. You guys are totally in.
Could use a pay raise.
Oh, please. Derek was incredible.
Yeah.
To come back from being world champion last year and the thing is, he's not. It wasn't the field that he was competing against were the best jumpers, were some of the best high jumpers in history. Like and when you look right across the line, there's some incredible, incredible jumpers. And for him to come back from being, for him to be world champion and then to come to be Olympic champion. I told him this. I saw him at the international broadcast, and I'm like, dude, listen, I don't think people here in Canada, even in the news covering appreciate and understand what it is. And I said to him, welcome, dude. Congratulations. This is incredible. For someone like Damien, love Damien.
Mm-hmm.
Damien today, I think, is the fourth or fifth fastest guy in Canada. So he could actually jump in and run the relays. He ran 10:15 this year. Incredibly talented guy. He spends a lot of time in Canada. I mean, I think, and this is just a personal opinion, and nothing against Ashton Eaton. Ashton is an incredible athlete. I think that Damien could win the decathlon. I think that Damien could break the world record in the decathlon. That's a personal feeling of mine. I think he can get faster. I think that he can, some of the individual events that he does, he can actually go up and be the best in Canada at it.
Right.
You know, so, I, and again, another kid I love. I mean, great kid, very balanced. But again, I think he needs to he really needs to maximize warm weather training this fall, and go after the world record next year in London.
Melissa Bishop was a
ouch, man. Yeah.
If she were to pick up the phone and call you, what would you have to say to her?
Well, you know what?
For those who aren't aware, she ran the 800. She finished fourth and set a Canadian record in the process.
Well, one of the things that I like about Melissa is the fact that she's embracing the rules that's set before her. And she's getting up and she's running and she's breaking Canadian records every single day. And she's just doing what it is that she's capable of doing. But yeah, she's in a tough situation. You know, she's one of the best 800 meter ladies in the world. And funny enough, when I was doing my pick for medals, how many medals Canada was going to get, I had her down for one because I just think that she's fierce and, you know, and someone who obviously trains hard. The last time I saw her, I'd said hi to her was at the Canadian Trials. Mm-hmm. And I truly expect, because, you know, you see athletes sometimes and you see the fire in their eyes.
Mm.
And I'm very certain that she was probably disappointed with her fourth. And probably not so disappointed with the Canadian record, but you know, listen, you know, keep at it, man. She's gonna get all what she deserves, all the incredible things that she deserves. She's gonna get.
Well, let's hope that Melissa Bishop and many more Canadians will be invited and join the Donovan Bailey exclusive club.
It's great, absolutely.
That Derek Drouin has. Yes. It's great to see you again. Thank you so much for making time.
Thank you. Great it's to been see awesome. You. And by the way, none of those athletes from any country have ever had a better facial expression when they won their gold medal than you did.
Oh, so I got the non-beauty contest. Is that what non-beauty. I got?
Okay. I never said that. That's a self-description.
And I still hadn't seen anybody dance like Donovan either.
Oh, geez, man. No, come on.
Anyways, they're blowing up Google right now looking for that. You know that, don't you?
Oh, no.
YouTube.
The great Donovan Bailey, the multiple Olympic gold medalist. Thank you so much
Thank
for
you.
Coming in.
Thanks for having me, man. Awesome.